Proverbs 5:15 through 23. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of water in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all of his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Once again Solomon speaks to his son and urges upon him some very good advice. He extols the virtues of a good wife. The joys of one's own home, like the waters of one's own well, are clean, pure, refreshing, and wholesome. It is an amazing thing when you realize that the Apostle Paul likened the relationship of Christ and his church to that of husband and wife. That in itself should give us the clear direction we need in matters of honor and fidelity in marriage. The church is to keep herself only unto Christ, and the love that our Lord has given his bride is deep, sacrificial, and eternal. We live in a strange and wicked time. Not only is fidelity in marriage brought into question and mocked in some circles, but the concept of marriage itself. There are many who publicly advocate the idea of men and women abandoning the institution of marriage altogether. Unfortunately, these are people who have captured the ears of our youth through their music, motion pictures, and television. They have become celebrities through their ability to entertain. The unfortunate thing is that they then urge upon their fans and followers their own polluted lifestyle. They scoff at the idea of a lifetime commitment to one person. They advocate that people live together if they want to, and walk out on each other when they grow weary of each other's company. We have begun to see the tragic result of all of this: violence, bloodshed, death, and deep psychological scars. Man, in his arrogance and pride, thinks he can improve on that which God has instituted, ordained, and promised to bless. So he struts through the earth, scoffs at the word of God, and smirks at the lifestyle of his forebears. Women take to the microphone and call upon us to call off our tired old ethics. They advocate a new morality, which seems to insist that the nation do that which is good while its citizens do that which is bad. They cry for a national morality, but urge upon us individual immorality. They build for themselves lavish and beautiful houses, but refuse to instill within them that which makes for a beautiful home, namely love, devotion, sacrifice, kindness, and patience. They try to substitute the pleasures of sin, which last but for a short while, for the lasting joy of a life lived in accordance with the Word of God. These abominations are spewed forth with frightening regularity. The magazine and book racks in supermarkets and airports drip with the deadly poison of ungodly minds. The music of young rebels and the conversation of popular entertainers on national talk shows leave the effects of its scum and filth in the minds of the youth of the land. All of this happens because the words of this old book are ignored. Nevertheless, the statements of the Word of God are true. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore.